Sunday, February the 9th.
Welcome to this Burlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
Okay, good morning, everyone. My name's Claire. If you don't know, it's really lovely to welcome you here today. And we've started strong on our journey of feasting on sung worship. What I'd love you to do with your neighbour for a moment is tell them not your favourite Christian song, your favourite non-Christian song. Everything is secular, but if it's a Dire Straits song, or is it, I don't know, Beyonce Crazy in Love is my favourite. I'm going to tell you why. This week I had a Tesco delivery, and the Tesco delivery driver gave me my food. And then he said, it's a special day. I'm going around and asking every single one of my deliveries what their favourite song is, because I'm so bored of my playlist. I want to know what your favourite song is. And I said, Beyonce Crazy in Love. And I love the fact that there's a guy driving around delivering Tesco's, listening to Beyonce on repeat right now. So tell your neighbour your favourite non-Christian song. Go. Am I working, Steve? Yes, I'm working. Yay. Okay, you got another like 30 seconds. So if you haven't had yours shared. Katie. Okay. Now, for a moment, share your favourite worship song. I know you were desperate. The one that at the precise moment in time you're loving. It doesn't have to be your life song. Just the one at the moment that's really getting you going. Your favourite worship song. Mine will be that Holy Forever one we've just done. I love that song. Go for it. Again, 30 more seconds, so if you haven't shared yet, get it out there. Need a Burlington playlist, don't we? If anyone want to sort that out, Alice has done that in the past, she's done a great job. Okay, let's come back together, shall we then? So Feasting February is a different theme each week where we think about the good things of God and how he gives us things to feast on. And sung worship is definitely one of those things that collectively we love to feast on. And Becky has already started us off in her welcome this morning thinking about one form of worship song, which is adoration and praise. But before we think about more styles of song, let's think for a moment about why we sing. Why do we sing in church together? Well, I'm going to rattle through these. Number one, it glorifies God. That's what we want to do. We want to live a life that glorifies God because he is so worthy of all our praise. And we're going to have a lot of psalms used today because the psalms is the songbook of the Bible, written by a number of different writers. They're songs, they're psalms, they're songs of praise. And one of the psalms that we've had already, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth. And then secondly, God sings. And if it's good enough for God, it's good enough for us, right? It says in Zechariah 3 verse 17 that God rejoices, or in some translations sings, over you. His banner is love. God sings over you. But Jesus sang as well. We read in Matthew 26 that Jesus got his disciples together and they sang a hymn on the mountain. So we know that Jesus sang as well. And we've also got lots and lots of examples of the early church singing as well. So not only does God sing, we're made in his image and we've all got voices and we should use them. Whether they're good or not, it doesn't matter. God has made you with a voice. Let's use it to praise his name. Number three, though, we are all made to sing, and all of humanity have used this as a creative form of worship. All the way through, we've had a creative form of worship. Mark, are my slides not working? No. It's going well, isn't it, today? Okay, I'll come and next chatting, we'll have a go at fixing it. So, we are made to sing, and throughout history, humanity has used it as a creative form of worship. All the way through church history, there have been songs, and many of the great forms of music have come out of church music. And I'm not a historian, but I do know that throughout history, music has formed a very core part of Christian community. Number four, I wish you could see this, it says it's a good practice for heaven. What we do now is a taste of what is to come. And the good news is we're all going to have amazing voices in heaven. So this is going to be good. I'm also going to be a size six. We're moving into that space too. But this is good practice for heaven. Because we read in Revelation that over and over again, we're going to be having praise parties with God. We're going to be singing songs of praise to him over and over. So let's have a practice now, because it's going to be a taste of what is to come. The creativity, though, of music also is God-given. And I want to stop before we move further and say, wow, aren't these guys amazing at leading us? Aren't they amazing? Not just these guys, others who lead in our community as well. The PA guys at the back who make it possible for us to hear them. You know, all of those people are using their creativity to help us do something so God-given, to sing. And it's musical and it's beautiful and it leads us and it's what we're made to be. The other thing about songs, though, and I reckon you probably will all go, oh, yeah, is we learn great theology from songs. How many of you know Bible verses? Not because you've read it in the Bible, but because you've got a song in your head that you know it. The wise man built his house upon the... That was just me. What other songs have you learned scripture from? Because you can sing them. It's a really good way of us learning some of the truths of God by singing them. And I bet you remember them more than you do by just reading them. It's also, though, a vehicle that God uses for us to experience his presence. As I looked around the room in the worship, you were all eyes closed, most of you. Those of you with small children weren't, but the rest of you were. And actually, there's a tangible sense of God's presence as we worship together. And God uses those moments to connect not just our minds, but our feelings and our emotions. And so songs are a vehicle that are used by God for us to encounter him, to experience his presence. So, what kind of songs should we sing? All of the songs we're going to be singing today probably do fall into something like this. And let's just see if we can get this working so you guys can see. Ooh. Okay, let's try this. Still not looking good, is it? No. Ooh, oh. No. You've got my desktop, just not the slides. It's really sad because this is a really pretty slide and I spent ages making it. Turn my computer around. People with good eyesight will be fine. No. Okay, it's fine. You can put the feasting February back. If you want to see my slide at the end, come find me in coffee. So, what kind of songs should we sing? Well, on my pretty slide, this is filled with beautiful words of all the different kinds of songs that you will find in the Bible. There's praise and adoration, like we've just been doing. But there's also prophetic songs. There's songs of comfort. There's songs of intercession and prayer. There's songs of hope. There's songs of commitment. There were ceremonial songs, like the Psalms, where they're on their way to the temple. They had ceremonial songs. Songs to prepare them for that moment. There are confession songs. There are storytelling songs. There are remembering and teaching songs. There are lament songs and cries for help. There are invitational songs, and there are commissioning songs and proclamation songs. And imagine it would have looked beautiful up there with all that list. There are so many different ways of singing to God. And we're going to basically spend the rest of our time together singing. It's cold in here because the heating didn't come on again this morning. I'm really sorry for that. So we're going to stand a lot. We're going to move around a little bit. And we're going to sing some of the songs that I've just talked about. We're going to use the rest of our time together to experience different kinds of songs that are going to help us perhaps engage with God in one of these areas. And so the first thing we're going to think about is not a song we all like to sing very often. We're going to think about songs of confession. Is that what you do first thing in the morning? Get up, bit of song of confession before you have breakfast? Probably not. But there is a really famous psalm in the middle of Psalms, which Elizabeth's going to come and read to us right now, which is a song of confession. You see, David had been one of their greatest kings and songwriters, but also he was one of the greatest sinners. He was like me and you. We get things wrong. And so he used his songwriting to write songs of confession, as well as praise and adoration. So let's listen together as Elizabeth reads Psalm 51 to us.
As Clara said, it's Psalm 51 and reading the first 12 verses. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Amen.
So that was David's Psalm of Confession. The heart of the message of Jesus is that he died so we can be forgiven. Jesus loves us so much. He was willing to even die a horrendous death on a cross so that we could be forgiven. And because we are forgiven, therefore we can enter God's house with praise. Because we are forgiven, we walk free from the sins of our yesterday. Because we are forgiven, we will one day see God face to face. And so confession is right at the heart of our Christian faith. And so it's not a surprise, therefore, there are songs of confession. And we're going to sing one together in just a moment. But let's use this as an opportunity before God to make our own confession. We often do this around communion, don't we? As a moment where we say, God, I'm so sorry for. So why don't we just pause for a moment, maybe close your eyes, lose the people around you, and as the band begin to play, I'm going to pray. Lord, I pause before I sing to recognize that there are things in my life and things that even this morning I've done that don't glorify or honor you. Perhaps they've hurt others. Perhaps they've hurt myself. Perhaps they've hurt you. And so, Lord, just in this moment, I take some time to say sorry. Just use this moment to whisper your sorries to God. And so, loving Father, faithful friend, I welcome once again your forgiveness and grace. I recognize that it was at the cross where you died that my sin and shame died also. I recognize that as I stand again before you, that it's at the cross I could be forgiven and made free from all of the sin and hurt. And as I stand in a moment to sing, I invite your forgiveness into my life. May I sing great songs of your cross, but as I sing, may I welcome your forgiveness into my life. As I sing again of your cross, may I recognize that without you, I would be a sinner forever. But with you, you call me a son or daughter of the King and a saint. Let's stand together, shall we, and sing and continue this attitude of prayer as we sing this song of confession together. For a few more minutes. So we've thought about songs of confession. I think you might be more familiar with the next song. A song of lament. A song of lament. A passionate expression of grief or sorrow. I remember a few years ago feeling very full of grief. As you know, if you've been around for a while, my mum died very suddenly. And the grief in me was huge. As you might imagine, the grief also continued for a lot longer than I would have liked. And I found it really hard to put words to that grief. Really hard. And I think if anybody in the room has lost anyone, like me, you will know that finding words can also be really helpful. Because you're not quite sure what's going on inside. But actually, you need to find some way of expressing that grief. And so I found the Psalms of Lament to be really, really good. Really, really helpful. Because they made me realize that God was big enough to cope with my grief. God was big enough for me to yell at him. And God was fine for me to do that. The Psalms of Lament, I think, are such a permission giver to us humans who find life hard. And I might be the only one in the room who finds life hard, but I'm not sure. I think you guys might do sometimes too. And so songs of lament are a permission giving to us to be cross with God, to say how it is. Because do you know what? He loves it when we're honest and open with him. Before we sing a song of lament, I want us to watch something. This is a friend of mine who I was at Bible college with talking about our tears. And it's a beautiful little video just for 4 minutes, which I'm really hoping is going to work because everything else on my laptop hasn't. But Mark's in control of this one. He's got it. Just helps us hear some of the psalms of lament, perhaps in a different way. So let's watch the screen together.
It's raining pretty hard right now, and I'm not really enjoying it, to be honest. I was enjoying when the sun was shining much better. But I know it's really important for my plants to get the water. Just planted out our courgettes here. They're looking really quite sad. Not sure how they're going to survive this. But we know that they need to drink the water from the rain through their roots in the soil. That's how they survive. But I also learned just now that actually plants can get too wet. If it rains too much, then my courgette plants could get flooded. And apparently what happens when a plant gets flooded is that it takes the oxygen out of the soil, and actually the plant, just like us, needs the oxygen. And do you know, this actually made me think about tears at the moment. And I wanted to read you some texts from the Bible about tears.
The Psalms in the Bible was written by people who knew all about tears, and they didn't hold back when they expressed their distress. In Psalm 6, we can read, "Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Among the dead, no one proclaims your name. Who praises you from his grave? I am worn out from my groaning. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my bed with tears." Or in Psalm 42, it says, "My tears have been my food day and night." Have you shed any tears recently? Think of those potted plants who get starved of oxygen when they're flooded. Do you ever feel like that? That it's hard to get enough life and breath in you because tears have been your food day and night. I wonder how you feel about your tears. Do you feel like it's okay to feel sad and upset? Or do you feel ashamed that you can't hold it together? What do you think God feels about your tears? The many songs and poems written by very upset people in the Psalms tells me that it's okay to be sad. It's okay to cry. There's wisdom in presenting your tears to God and being honest about how you feel. In Psalm 58, verse 8, the psalmist says to God, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." What would a record of your tears look like? What kind of things will God have noted down? You can trust that God pays attention to your every tear. You can trust God with strong and difficult emotions. "There's a time for everything," says Ecclesiastes. And even on the days when we are sad, we can know that other times will come. God does not care for us badly like I do with my potted plants. He cares for us perfectly, and he will not let us be overwhelmed if we bring our sorrow to him. There will be days for smiles and laughter, says Psalm 126. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out with weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them.
Let's turn that moment into prayer. Some of us today are all smiles and happy, but some of us here are crying tears. And the God who loves us invites us to be honest with him. And so let's just have a moment of silence where you can just be really honest with him. Is there any grief you carry today you'd like to lay at his feet? Is there anything that you want to say about being angry or cross? Is there anything that's frustrating you, causing you pain? Or is there a situation that you know is causing you tears at the moment? Let's just leave it with Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that songs often give us words to how we're feeling. As we sing this next one, you give and take away. You give and take away. We say that when things are good, blessed be your name. We say when the road is marked with suffering, blessed be your name. Thank you that you hold me. Thank you that you love me. Let's use this next song however you would like. Maybe you want to stand. Maybe you want to kneel. Maybe you just want to sit and be. But we have a God who holds our hearts and a God who catches our tears. And so we are safe in his hands. Blessed be your name. Psalmist often says, where is my God? Lord, thank you that here, as we sing, your presence surrounds us. Thank you that you wipe the tears from our face, that you promise it won't be like this forever. Where are you, God, in my life right now? You're right there with me. And therefore, I can face what today brings, trusting you for tomorrow. Amen. Please have a seat. Some of you may need to stay in that moment. That's fine. That's fine. The coffee's on if you'd rather go out and have a coffee. But we are going to move to another form of song, and it often follows lament. It's a song of intercession, the action of saying a prayer on behalf of another. Last week, there were five prayer meetings that happened amongst students across the UK. And it was organised by the universities, UCCF and Fusion and various other people to try and get people to pray for our universities and young adults. And those meetings went on for hours. The stories that are coming out at the moment of those in their 18 to 30s not leaving prayer meetings for hours is amazing. Absolutely amazing. There's a massive move called the Send, which some of us went up to Cambridge to experience last year, where they're trying to get people to pray for revival in the UK. Now, I'm kind of up for that. The Bible talks a lot about our prayers needing to find words and a song. And these prayer meetings are fueled by worship. Actually, the one that came out of Oxford, they worshipped with song and prayer for 9 hours straight through the night. It was supposed to finish at midnight. It didn't. They just carried on worshipping and using songs as a way of prayer. It's exciting what's going on at the moment. If you want more information about all of that and how to get involved, see me. But it's exciting that actually through worship we can pray. God listens and God hears and God knows. So what I want you to do just for a moment is to think of something that you would like to pray for, or somebody you would like to pray for, or a situation. Perhaps it's something personal to you. Perhaps it's something global. Perhaps it's a leader, a country, a situation. Just have a think. What do you want to pray for today? And I'd like you to tell your next door neighbour what you're going to pray for. Just really quickly, like 10 seconds. What are you going to pray for? Just tell them. And then will you stand with me? Because we're going to use the next song to speak the name of Jesus over that situation. It's a song we know well. So you can close your eyes and sing it. You can do whatever you want. But as we sing this song, why don't you speak the name of Jesus over the situation that you've just been thinking about? Because as we sing, we are praying, we are speaking on behalf of perhaps that situation or that person. Let's use this song to speak the name of Jesus over that situation. Lord, hear my prayer. I speak Jesus over the situation I was thinking of. I speak Jesus over the people that are stirring my heart right now. I speak Jesus over that situation. Father God, hear our prayer. In the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Do you have a seat? We could do this all day. You'll be pleased to know we're not. There are another 900 types of song we could do, but we're going to go with the last one because I think you all need a cup of tea and a lot of singing. The final one that we're going to look at today are two C's, songs of commitment and commissioning. We often sing these as we're going out into the week as a way of reminding ourselves whose name we're going in. We often sing these songs at the end of our time together as we say, we trust you, we want to trust you forever. And so we're going to end with two songs, one of which is a commitment song, one is a commissioning song. An agreement or pledge that I'm going to do something for God this week, that I'm going to live for him, give him the glory, live for him alone. And so that's what our final set of songs are about, the themes are. But we could sing them and it would be lovely. But why don't we sing them like we really mean them, yeah? As we go into these final two songs, let's sing and say, yes, I'm going to build my life on you alone. And then I'm going to go out from this place to build your kingdom in my house, in my neighborhood, in my school, in my workplace. That's the journey of the last two songs. And I hope you've enjoyed the journey of worship we've taken, thinking about different styles of songs and how we can use them to worship differently. And so I guess my final question is, how are you going to worship with song this week? Hooray for Spotify. Hooray for CDs. Hooray for however you listen to music, because it's all there for us to listen to and to use it as we go in his name this week. Let's use songs to worship and to lament and to confess and to do whatever is on your heart in that moment. Let's stand and sing the final songs that we have together.